Today we're going to be reading from Colossians 1, 24 to 2, 5. In the Pew Bibles, you'll find that on page 821. And it's up on the screen. Now I rejoice in what I am suffering for you, and I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, which is the church. I have become its servant by the commission God gave me to present to you the word of God in its fullness, the mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the Lord's people. To them, God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. He is the one we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. To this end, I strenuously contend with all the energy Christ so powerfully works in me. I want you to know how hard I am contending for you and for those at Laodicea and for all who have not met me personally. My goal is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I tell you this so that no one may deceive you by fine-sounding arguments. For though I am absent from you in body, I am present with you in spirit, and delight to see how disciplined you are and how firm your faith in Christ is. This is the word of God.
Thanks, Stu. Morning, everyone. My name is Nigel. I lead the team here at Christchurch St. Ives. And Nikki and I have four children. And when our kids were younger, we would sit them down at the dinner table all together. And we would say to them, you've got to share with us something from your day. And we said, you've got to share something that made you mad, sad, or glad. And we thought that because mad, you get cranky about good things and bad things. Sad because sometimes sad things happen. Glad because, well, it's good to focus on things to be thankful for. Can I tell you, the conversation was always hilarious. Four little children trying to share about their day in a somewhat mature way. And then one day, one evening, our eldest child, Michelle, said she was really glad about her day because the teacher got them all to share what their parents did for a job. And I thought, excellent, this is going to be gold. I'm an Anglican clergyman. And Michelle was as a very young child, had a really deep faith. You know, some of you have a child like that who had a really mature faith, even as a really young age, and it was robust and amazing. I was imagining that she was going to open up and find, if you grab your Bible, Colossians chapter 1, verse 21, I reckon she would have been calling this out. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death. And I'm thinking to myself, I wish I could have been there. Because I reckon Michelle would have called people to repent right there in the classroom. And I'm thinking to myself, if not that, she would have said, please come to the front if you want to trust Jesus. You know, I'm sitting there with a bit of a smile on my face, and I said to Michelle, I said, right, Michelle, what did you say Dad does for a job? And she says, my dad goes to meetings. Now, can I tell you, the truth is I go to a lot of meetings. But every single one of those meetings has one purpose and one aim. And it is that we might do Colossians chapter 1, verse 28, better and better. And this is what I would have loved Michelle to say. Look at me at verse 28 in chapter 1. I would have loved for her to say, my dad proclaims Christ, teaching and admonishing everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. Friends, that's ministry. Now, that's my job. And if you want to know what the ministry team here does every day of the week, across 6 days, 7 days of the week. If you want to know what we do, it is verse 28, and it is preparing to do verse 28. And we do it because that's what servants of the gospel do. And so the passage before us today has Paul setting this out for the Colossians, sort of laying out the authority and nature of his ministry. He's going to share two things, the purpose of his ministry and the task of ministry. We're going to look at those two things, and then we're also going to spend some time reflecting on what our response to ministry ought to be. So first thing this morning, the purpose of ministry. And I want to start by saying that lots of things happen at a church. We gather together on Sundays and throughout the week to worship the God of the gospel in song and prayer and word and service with our whole body in expectation of the future gathering in heaven. We gather together to hear from and learn from God's word. We gather together to pray together and for each other. We gather together to encourage and love each other. We gather together to use our gifts in the service of God, as we just heard Brendan talk about. We gather together to shine a light into the world for Christ. Lots of things happen at a church, but the purpose of every single thing that happens is verse 28. The purpose of this thing is to present you fully mature in Christ. Now, how will we know when we get there? What does full maturity actually look like? Well, our goal for you in Christ cannot be less than God's goal for you in Christ, which if you look back into verse 22 again, you'll see that as the gospel is preached, that it is so that people would be presented holy in God's sight without blemish and free from every accusation. Paul talks about this goal in chapter 2, verse 2. He says, "My goal is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." And so Paul's purpose for the Colossians, and subsequently our purpose of ministry for you, is that you might so deeply know the full riches and treasures to be found in Christ that you would be a finished product in Christ. That's what it is to be fully mature in Christ, to be the finished product. Not just more mature than the person next to you. Don't look at the person next to you right now. But your goal is not just to be a better Christian than them. Your goal is actually that you are fully human. To be fully human is to have your heart wholly turned to God. It's that your whole self is fully bound up to walk with Christ in everything. Christ actually is your guidebook for everything, that your mind knows the fullness of God's will for you and you walk in accordance with that. And that in the world, Christ directs you for him and for his glory. So here's the thing. I do go to a lot of meetings. On a normal Monday, I often have 9 meetings. That's nuts. But I tell you, they all have one purpose. Is that you might be more a wholehearted disciple of Jesus tomorrow than you are today. That you might have more of Jesus in you. That you might walk more closely with Jesus all the time. As a parent, as a spouse, as an employee, as a friend. This is the content of our work for every single one of you. This is the content of our prayers for every single one of you. That you might be a finished product in Christ. Because there is nothing more important in the world than that. There's nothing more important in the world than Jesus. And because of who he is and what he has done for you, our purpose for living, our life operating system, our orienting principle ought to be Jesus. You are fully mature in Christ when all you do is governed by him. Life in and for Jesus should be our everything. And friends, I pray for you every week that it would be your everything. And I wonder if you pray that for yourself. That's the purpose. So what's the task? How do you get there? Well, this is the same as what Paul wanted for the Colossians, and his plan to get there involves one task and two consequences. And it's all in verse 28. So again, verse 28, he says, Christ is the one we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. So if you want people to be a fully finished product in Christ, if you want people to walk with Christ, then they need to know Christ. And so Christ needs to be proclaimed. The riches and treasures of his glory need to be known so that people can shape their lives around that. The wonder of his power and majesty and love needs to be understood so that people can respond to that. And in some sense, this is what the whole of Colossians is, right? When Paul's saying this in verse 28, he's sort of saying, I don't have time or opportunity to come up to Colossae to actually share all this with you, so read the letter and you'll get a little bit of this. And so Paul's proclaiming Christ, who is the mystery of God, in whom all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are found. So Paul does not seek to manufacture in them an experience. Paul is not seeking to manufacture in them a feeling. Paul's not seeking to manufacture in them an internal movement of some form. He doesn't call for miracles in their presence. Rather, look at verse 25 in chapter 1. He presents the word of God in all its fullness. He opens up the scriptures and he says, hey, you guys, check out Jesus. Check out what Jesus has done. Check out what Jesus is still doing. Check out what Jesus is doing in you and driving out of you, and keep in step with that same spirit that is at work in you. It's always been about Jesus. And the answer to the mystery of what God is doing in the world, as Paul says twice in this passage, is Jesus. So Paul teaches people about Jesus, admonishing them as well, warning them of the need to be like Jesus more and more. That's the task. But this task has two consequences. The first one is an internal struggle. And so verse 29, Paul says, to this end, I strenuously contend with all the energy Christ so powerfully works in me. I want you to know how hard I'm contending for you and for those at Laodicea and for all who've not met me personally. It's a great and common thing that people will say, what's it like to work one day a week at a church? I work one and a half, and it takes me half a day to write a sermon, so it's fine. But there's way more than that that goes on in ministry. Now, Paul, he's never been to Colossae. Now, they don't know him. Paul's locked up in prison, unable to visit, but he is agonizing and toiling, even to the point of exhaustion, with all his might and all his strength and all the energy that of Christ that works in him to help the Colossians take steps forward to being wholehearted disciples of Jesus. No doubt he's praying, but he's writing letters. He's fighting those who are trying to deceive with, verse 4, fine-sounding arguments. He's training and rebuking and sending out the team that he talks about in Colossians chapter 4. Paul is strenuously contending for the church in Colossae. Because if even one person takes one step forward, it's worth it. One person takes one step forward, it's worth it. And then there's a second consequence, and that's the external struggle, which is verse 24. And Paul says, now I rejoice in what I'm suffering for you, and I fill up my flesh, in my flesh, what has been lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, which is the church. Now, let me let you in on a little preacher's secret here. One of the things as a preacher that you never want to read in a commentary is this is one of the most debated verses in the whole of the Bible. And as I was preparing my sermon, I opened up a commentary to verse 24 and it said, this is one of the most debated verses in the whole of the Bible. If you looked at this in your growth group this week, you'll know that it sounds like Paul is saying something weird because of that word lacking. Indeed, in this verse, it sounds like Paul is saying suddenly that Jesus' death on the cross lacks the power to completely bring forgiveness. So Paul has to fill up Christ's inadequacy in his own flesh. Now, first, he cannot be saying that. He cannot be saying that. Through the whole of the New Testament, it is clear that Christ died for sins once, the righteous for the unrighteous. Christ brings full forgiveness. Not only that, Paul in Colossians 1 has already told us that. Look back in your Bible, verse 13. He says, he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness. It doesn't say he started to rescue us from the dominion of darkness, but I, Paul, have got the rest of the way for you. It's going to be okay. Again, verse 22, he says, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body. He doesn't say he's reconciled you part by Christ's physical body, but I've got the rest. It's going to be okay. So what is he saying? Well, the key question to work out is what is still lacking? And I found about 9 different ways of understanding what might still be lacking in understanding this verse. But there are basically 2 different contentions. The first one is that the final effect of Christ's afflictions is still lacking. That is, that there is more people to become Christians, that the work of the gospel itself is not yet finished. So Paul continues the work that involves suffering for the sake of the church until every person who needs to become a Christian or who God intends to become a Christian actually becomes a Christian until the gospel reaches the ends of the earth. It is possible that it says that. The second option is that what is lacking is actually the volume of suffering itself, so that those who will serve in Christ's work could suffer for that work, and as they do, they're suffering for Christ himself, filling up the whole measure of suffering that is needed for the church. Now, I actually prefer this second understanding of the text, that what's lacking is actually suffering. What's lacking is not that he needs to do something to fully atone, but that there is still suffering to go for those who will work for Christ, including Paul. And I like this understanding because it makes sense of the time when Paul, before he was a Christian, and he was making Christians suffer by killing Christians, and Jesus confronts Paul just after he has killed a whole lot of Christian people, and Jesus says, "Why are you persecuting me?" There's an intimate connection between Paul, between Christians who suffer and Jesus' suffering. And then after Paul's conversion, the Lord says to Paul and to another person who's with Paul in Acts chapter 9 from verse 15, "This man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles," that's the mystery of Christ to the Gentiles, "and their kings and to the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name." And so Paul's afflictions in ministry are an extension of Christ's afflictions for us. They have no redemptive benefit, but they are one of the inevitable consequences of serving Christ in ministry. Now, if you are totally lost, come back with me to verse 26. Because the purpose of all of this, why is Paul rejoicing in his sufferings? Why is Paul glad to suffer? Why is Paul thankful that he gets to suffer? Well, it's verse 26. It's because he gets to present the mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the Lord's people. To them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So no matter what is happening in verse 24, here is the task and purpose of ministry. That by proclaiming Christ through strenuous serving and suffering, everyone may hear of Christ. That everyone may trust Christ. That everyone may have Christ dwell in their hearts by faith, come to full maturity in Christ, and in the end be found with Christ, the hope of glory. Lots of things you can hope for. Lots of things you can find glory in. There's only one that is the hope of glory, and that's the Lord Jesus. And so, friends, we proclaim Jesus Christ, the King of the Jews, who's been revealed as the King of the world, through whom all can come to reconciliation with God by his death, through whom all can have the hope of glory, through whom you have received the hope of glory. And we proclaim this because we want to see every person in the world meet Jesus face to face at the end and stand in his glory and have Jesus say, welcome. And have us say, thank you. Glad to be here. Now can I ask you my list of questions that I have been saving up during my whole life? Friends, we want you to land in eternity a friend of Christ. We want you to land in eternity having grown to full maturity in Christ. I can't wait to stand before the Lord Jesus. What about you? So that's the shape and purpose of ministry. That's what we're doing here in the body of Christ. What are some of the things, though, that we might consider doing in response to what we've heard here in the passage today? Well, I've got five things that you might consider. Number one, guard the ministry. Guard the ministry. As a team of people who serve you, the prime thing we should be doing is proclaiming Christ, teaching and admonishing everyone so that we can be all fully mature in Christ. And can I say, if you don't hear that, if you don't see that happening in our church, if you don't hear that happening in your growth group or wherever else it is, if you think we've lost our way from verse 28, can you call that out? Guard the ministry. Guard what is happening. Make sure that you are hearing of Christ with gentleness and care, ensuring everyone who comes to know Christ in you, the hope of glory. We don't want to be preaching a gospel whereby people are going to get to eternity and stand before Jesus, and Jesus is going to say, you learned a lot of stuff there, but you're not welcome. I want to prepare people for an eternity where they meet Jesus now so they're ready to meet Jesus then. So in every ministry, every week, in every talk, every time, Jesus should be front and center. And if Jesus is not front and center, ask questions. Guard the ministry. Here and wherever else you go in church and in life, in your future, guard the ministry of the preaching of Christ. But also, number two, receive the ministry. Receive the ministry. We genuinely want you to be wholehearted disciples of Jesus. That is not just a catchy catchphrase for a vision statement. This is a real thing. Comes from the real Bible, Colossians chapter 1, verse 28. We want your whole self to be bound up fully in Christ, so you are walking with Christ. We want you to be more a follower of Jesus tomorrow than you are today. That's why we do everything we do. But you know what? We can't make that happen. God in his strength is working in you. We know that in the power of his Spirit. But you need to receive the ministry. You need to receive the word. You need to actually hear it and act on it. You need to listen to what Jesus is saying to you and go, how, in response to what I've heard, do I change in order to be more like Jesus tomorrow than I am today? We want to cheer you on to go after Jesus, but you need to go after Jesus. God is at work in you by his Spirit, but this is why Paul says in several places, keep in step with the Spirit. Keep going. Don't just listen on a Sunday and go, all is good now, I did the church thing. Receive the ministry. Listen to the admonishments. Listen to what is taught. Listen to the warnings. Listen to the corrections. And be heartfelt and prayerfully willing to pursue Christ more and more. With every ounce of my passion, I want to encourage you to do that. Both here and in your growth group. Allow God's word to shape your life, not just inform your mind. Here's some tips. Bring your own Bible to church. We've got Bibles you forget. Bring your own Bible and get one of those Bibles you can write in the margins and write yourself a note every time you hear a passage. What's the thing you're going to do this week? Or bring yourself a notebook so you can remember what you're doing and get things in your head. You know, I was speaking at Kids Space the other day. I lead the Year 4 boys on a Friday afternoon. Shout out for the Year 4 boys. There's about 400 of them. I'm giving a talk at Kids Space, and I noticed there's a bunch of kids at the front here writing in a book. And I'm like, can you listen to the talk? They're writing notes on my talk. Year 5. Can I say, if you model to your kids pursuing Christ, your kids will pursue Christ. On that note, I have a challenge. I've got some cards. Is there anyone here who'd like to turn one of these cards into one of these cards? Is there anyone here who is learnt the memory verse with their child who wants to give last week's verse or this week's verse a go? And I'll give you a gold card. Do I have a taker? Or else they're both mine. Have I got a taker? Hang on. Di Lucas, welcome. Welcome, Di. Can we get Di a microphone? Which one are you going to go for, Di? Last week or this week? Last week was two verses. This week is like...
Easy. This week's really hard.
This week is six verses, can I say?
I put my hand up because I've been so encouraged seeing my kids do this.
It's so good.
And so...
All right, which one do you want? Yeah, don't cheat.
I'm not cheating. My glasses are there.
Which one
I'm going
to
do this week. Like, I'm going to do the big one.
The big one.
But I'm not... Yeah, let's see how
Have a crack.
Go.
You can hold the card in anticipation. I'll take it from you if we don't agree that you should have it. All right, here we go. Colossians 1, 15 to 20. Go, Di.
For the Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For through him all things were created, visible and invisible. All things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or powers, I'm all nervous
Keep
now.
Keep going, you're fine.
Whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. He is the beginning. He is the beginning. Sorry. He is the beginning of all things. He's the firstborn.
Yep.
He's before all things and the firstborn from among the dead. No, I've missed 17.
You've missed a bit, but keep going.
For
God was pleased.
For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him and to be reconciled and to reconcile all things through him.
Whether things
in heaven, on earth or in heaven. Oh, it's the last bit.
By
his death on the cross.
That's pretty good.
Sorry.
That's pretty good. You can keep the card. Good job.
I should have practiced more.
That was excellent. If you want to try last week's one quietly, I have one more gold card.
Last week's one I can
do. Yeah. For last week, I'll show you. Coordinate. Yeah, actually, you can. I don't know how much time I've got for this, but let's do it anyway. Come on, let's go. Let's get a gold card for last week. I've got a microphone. Leo, we need a microphone. All right, Colossians 1, 13 and 14.
I said this about 1,000 times at the dinner table and I'll probably mess it up and my kids will be upset for me.
I'll get them to watch the video later, it'll be fine.
Right. For he rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, forgiveness of sins.
Word for word. That's a year 4 dad, just so you know, right over there. Friends, don't merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Do what it says. And model that for your kids. Number three, we're going to go fast now because that took quite a lot of time. All right, Colossians 1, verse 28. Do the ministry. Do the ministry. Colossians 1, 28 is definitely the role of the ministry team. But guess what? It's not just our role. When you come to Colossians chapter 3, verse 16, you find that it is your role as well. Flick ahead in your Bible, Colossians 3, 16, and it says, "Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts." That does not mean you need to sing the Bible to each other or walk up to someone and go, "You need to be more like Jesus." No, what it means is that when you're sitting next to someone in your growth group, you say to your friend, "Hey, I've just noticed," and actually work with each other to grow to be more and more like Christ. Number four, can I encourage you, this is sort of taking a bit of a turn to the right, support the ministry. Support the ministry. You will have seen in the church news this week, in our weekly emailed news, that we are behind budget for this year. We are $86,000 behind after the first 4 months of the year. If you're good at maths, that's not a good thing. It's good that you're good at maths. 86,000 times three is a big number. So we want to encourage everyone to be fully mature in Christ, but we do need the financial resources to do so. So can I encourage you today, if you have joined us recently or if you haven't changed your giving recently because your circumstances have changed, then now is the time to do that and to partner with us in the work here of presenting everyone fully mature in Christ. There's more information on how to give on the church website. We'd love you to partner with us in this. And we do want our finances always to be completely transparent, so you know exactly what's going on. It's a key value for our parish council, our church committee. So again, there's a link in this week's church news to all of our current financials from the end of last year, this year's budget, and everything else. And if you have any questions, please start with your growth group leader, but come and ask me or a member of staff. We'll be glad to help you think about your giving, and thank you for the generosity of those who give regularly to the work of the gospel in this place. Number five, join the ministry. The glorious riches of the mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, have been revealed, but they need to be ongoingly presented and proclaimed, and there's just not enough people doing that in the world. And so let me ask you to do two things. Number one, consider whether now could be a great time for a career change for you and get into ministry. And number two, don't scare your kids off from ministry. A lot of Christian parents are really well-meaning until it comes to the moment where their kids start to talk about doing full-time ministry and they're like, "No, don't do that." If your kid has any interest in full-time ministry or serving the Lord full-time, say, "Yeah, go talk to Nigel. I'd love to chat to them." Well, let's have the band come up. Friends, let me finish by asking you this. What are you building your life on? What are you building your life on? The hope of paying off your mortgage? The hope that your kids will be better educated than you and have a better life than yours? There is something way better than all of that to build your life on. And it is the firm foundation of the love of God towards you, of Christ in you, of knowing Christ in you, the hope of glory. Our purpose here as a church is to present you fully mature in Christ. This is what we are striving at for you every day of the week. So what's next for you? What do you need to do today so you are more a wholehearted disciple of Jesus tomorrow? It's sometimes hard to work that out. You might want to ask the person next to you when church finishes, "What do I need to do next to become more like the person Jesus wants me to be?" There's a great question to ask someone when church finishes. What do I need to do next to be more the person Christ wants me to be tomorrow? How about we pray? Our great God and Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you for your abundant love for us in Christ. We pray that we would indeed walk in step with your Spirit, being transformed to be the people who you want us to be, building our lives on the foundation which is Christ, receiving ministry so that we might more and more and be a finished product, fully mature, wholehearted disciples in Jesus. We pray you would help us to be thoughtful about how to make this happen. And we ask this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.